Support for WPR comes from 4imprint, providers of promotional products for businesses, including embroidered apparel, trade show items, and logoed business gifts. More is at 4imprint.com. 4imprint, for certain. Support for WPR comes from Rutabaga Paddle Sports, offering canoes, kayaks, and advice for anyone wanting to experience solitude on Wisconsin waterways. 2620 Rimrock Road in Madison or rutabagashop.com.
في الطريق الذي يعبر العالم البربرية إلى العائلة، في الطريق الطويل الطويل إلى العائلة، بشر.
You're listening to Iraqi poet Nabil Yassin recite the beginning of his epic poem, Brother Yassin. For 27 years, Yassin has lived in exile, but his poetry has made him a revered figure in Iraq. In fact, this poem may even have saved the life of one of his friends. Back in 2003, the Egyptian journalist Ahmed Goda was one of the first reporters to go into Iraq after the fall of Saddam Hussein. As writer Joe Tatchell tells the story, Goda found himself wandering through Basra when he was confronted by an angry mob of people.
He got into a scuffle with some people who wanted to know who he was, and he, in a sort of definite spot of difficulty, said, well, I work from London and I know a lot of Iraqi people. And you can imagine they scoffed at that and thought, yes, you know, that's just what anybody would say to try and get themselves out of a difficult situation. And he said, no, I do, and I'm a friend. I'm not a foe. I'm one of you, and I'm here to report impartially about what's happened. And none of this broke through, but when he finally said, look, I know this poet, and maybe you know him, his name is Nabil Yassin, the second they heard the name, there was a ripple of understanding, a sense of, ah, okay, Nabil Yassin, we know him, Brother Yassin. And suddenly, this hostility fades away. They start to recite and talk about his poetry, and poetry, let's be clear here, is an incredibly important art form in Iraq, across the Arab world. So to be known as a poet is a really brilliant thing.
Joe Tatchell has written a biography of Nabil Yassin called Nabil's Song. It's a remarkable story. Yassin and his family were targets of the Ba'ath Party of Saddam Hussein. At various times, his two older brothers were arrested and tortured, and Nabil himself once had a gun pointed at his head. By 1976, Yassin's poems had made him an enemy of the state. 4 years later, he snuck out of Iraq, and he's lived in exile ever since. Yassin and Tatchell recently visited New York, where they spoke with Steve Paulson.
Nabil, when did you realize that poetry was your great calling in life?
I think it was very early. I was 16 when I start to write about something mixed between Mesopotamian mythology and the present of Iraq that days.
Was it poetry that got you in trouble with the Ba'athists that held power in Iraq?
I think so, yes, because I think every dictatorship afraid of the poetry in the same time try to control the poetry for its benefits. Also, the Ba'athists try to use Iraqi poetry and Arab poetry in political way.
I mean, one of the things that is really evident now about the Ba'athist regime is that they did co-opt creative people and rewarded them greatly for producing works of art that glorified Saddam as a leader and Iraq as a chosen nation that should be declaring war and building its power. You know, people that took that route were rewarded greatly. So one of the things that's interesting now is that, you know, the people that continue to produce poems like Nabil outside of Iraq are the ones now who have the country's culture in their hands.
But it's also fascinating what you're saying because, I mean, you're really talking about the power of the written word. And, I mean, this is something that obviously you, Nabil, understand being a poet yourself, but it's also something that Saddam Hussein understood. I mean, he was very aware of the dangers that poetry could present to his regime.
That's right. And this is not just in Iraq. Everywhere where the dictatorship exists, this dictatorship afraid of the war. For this reason, in Saddam's stage, the Ba'athist created some slogan said the pen and the gun has one hole. the relation between the book and the political ideology of Ba'ath, the party, was very bad, very dramatic relation.
What kinds of books did you have to hide?
Shakespeare, Walt Whitman, Hemingway, many, many names, more than...
Virginia Woolf, Virginia, even Tintin.
Even Tintin
exactly. Was banned.
Hmm. All of these authors were blacklisted in Iraq under Saddam.
Yes. They
completely.
They released in 1980-81 a list, blacklisted, contains more than 1,500 names from all the world.
And were you on that list as well? Were you blacklisted?
Yes, my name was included.
He was, and I've just written a piece, actually, for a magazine in Britain called The Liberal about a man who now Nabil knows, but who was a soldier, a forcibly conscripted soldier, and he was caught with a poem of Nabil's that he absolutely loved and had hidden it away in the bottom of his army bag, and he was away one weekend or for a period of days, and officers in his barracks ransacked his bag and found the poem. He was imprisoned for years.
Because he had this one poem by Nabil.
A seven-line poem written by Nabil.
Well, let me ask about that, because I'm wondering how that makes you feel, Nabil. I mean, here's this man who had one of your poems. He was arrested for years because of that. I mean, do you feel bad about that at all?
And tortured him also. And I said, I feel guilty, not because I wrote this poem, because this is funny if I blame myself for my poetry, but I felt guilty because the Iraqi government and the Ba'ath party used these poems against the people, against a young man like Karim.
But you also did a really good thing, which is Karim, who now is also living outside of Iraq in Germany, has been writing poetry himself, and Nabil's talked to him and helped him and counselled him about his own poetry. And I think in a sense, between the two of them, they found a way, actually creating more poetry or through the poetry, to move forward and beyond what happened.
Nabil, how did you actually get out of Iraq? How did you escape?
It was really difficult and really dangerous, but I succeeded to escape in early 1980. I remember that morning, 28th of January 1980, and I left my mother with her black clothes.
But it was painstaking as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's not a question of deciding. And people had asked you to get out in ways that would have been really foolish, you know, in disguise, you know, on the back of a truck. And I think what you did was really clever, as we've talked about, is that you thought, they expect me to behave like somebody who's in hiding and somebody who doesn't have official papers. And somehow, if I get the right paperwork, I've got to act as if I'm absolutely a legitimate citizen and go out in the one way they wouldn't expect me to do it. I think that psychological approach is probably the thing that saved you. You escaped through the airport, which is the one way that people thought, you know, you just wouldn't have the audacity to do it.
Now, Nabil, you lived in exile for years, for decades, and you just went back for the first time.
Yeah.
What was that like?
I didn't know yet. It was very, very difficult. I went to Baghdad after 27 years. It is not a short time. When I entered Baghdad, the time was afternoon, so I called my brother from my mobile and I said, I'm 10 minutes along from your house. He said, please don't come because we are surrounded since yesterday. So cross the bridge and go to anywhere and then we try to find you tomorrow or after tomorrow. So I was in Baghdad for a month, but until now I didn't know if it was Baghdad, my Baghdad, or another place. But sometimes I feel that I'm in Baghdad when I, in the first day, 7 o'clock, the sunset was starting, and then many, many birds returned to the trees, and I heard the bird chirping on the trees. So I said, this is Baghdad, yes. That is Baghdad and not another place. Then I discovered that the regime really destroyed not just the town and the houses and the streets. He destroyed all the history, all the memory of the Iraqi people. He broke the spirit of the people. He tried to delete all the history of individual people, private things. He destroyed the doors, the trees, the streets, the darkness, even the darkness. It was really a bright darkness in Iraq 27 years ago or 30 years ago. Even the darkness became very dark, not shiny. I remember the Baghdad was very light city that time. And if you look to the Tigris River, 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, you will see how the light reflecting on the waves of the water. So I didn't find that. Maybe next time I'm going to find this fair lady whom I left 27 years ago.
Nabil Yassin is one of Iraq's most celebrated poets. Steve Paulson also talked with journalist Joe Tatchell, who has written the book Nabil's Song.